We're going to read God's Word this morning from Luke 10, beginning with verse 25. The Word of God in Luke 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he, answering, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Those last verses of the chapter, verses 38 through 42, are the sermon text this morning. I believe that most of us, if not all of us, have difficulty fulfilling our spiritual responsibilities, finding time for spiritual things, especially during the week, finding time for prayer, for the Word of God. We have difficulty establishing our priorities as far as spiritual things are concerned, most of us, if not all of us. And it's with that in mind that I want to look with you at these verses from Luke 10 this morning. We have here an important reminder. In the words of Jesus Himself, about the fact that though we have many different responsibilities, we all have our calling in life, there's a reminder here that there is one thing needful. We have to be careful that we do not become like Martha, cumbered, as Jesus says, burdened with many things that leave us no time for fellowship with God, for reading His Word, for the study of His Word, for prayer. I think most of us putting our own name where Martha's name is found in verse 41, need to hear the words of Jesus. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Theme for this morning's sermon is taken from verse 42, one thing needful. And we're going to look at what that is, we're going to look at how we have it, and we're going to look at why it's needful. Not only needful, but as Jesus says in verse 42, good. Those three things this morning. Jesus was in Bethany. The name of the village isn't mentioned here, but that's where Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus lived. Little village just east of Jerusalem, over the Mount of Olives, and along the road to Jericho and the Jordan. Jesus counted Mary, Martha, and Lazarus as some of the closest of His friends and often stayed there with His disciples. And on this occasion, at least, when He visited Mary and Martha, Lazarus isn't mentioned, perhaps he was away on business. On this occasion, Martha was very busy preparing a meal for Jesus and His disciples. And I think that we would all do the same if we had someone like Jesus and His disciples visiting us. Martha wanted to make sure that the food was all properly cooked, that the table was properly set, that everything was in order for this meal. Wanted to make sure that Jesus and His disciples had the best while they were at her house. And we would probably even sympathize with Martha when she came and complained to Jesus that she was doing all the work and Mary wasn't helping. Mary, as we read in verse 39, went and sat at Jesus' feet and heard His Word. We probably, if we had been there, would have thought too to ourselves, Mary should be helping her sister instead of sitting with the disciples and listening to what Jesus had to say. But Jesus did not take Martha's side in all of this. He took Mary's side and even rebuked Martha. Rebuked Martha, as He says in verse 41, because she was careful and troubled about many things and had forgotten that there was something more important than making this meal, than doing her best to serve Jesus and His disciples while they were there at her house. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that Jesus is not by any means, in His words to Martha, He is not by any means saying that our earthly responsibilities and duties are of no importance at all. He is not suggesting even that we may neglect earthly responsibilities in order to do what Mary did. There are other passages of the Word of God that make it very, very clear that each of us, in the place and calling God has given us, it is a calling too, no matter what our place in life is, we have certain responsibilities and must fulfill those responsibilities to the best of our ability for the glory of God. And the Word of God makes it clear, too, that we sin if we neglect those responsibilities. One of those responsibilities is the responsibility to show hospitality to others. That's such an important responsibility that it's even one of the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3. An elder has to be given to hospitality. And you all know what Hebrews 13 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." That's one of many responsibilities that we have as parents, as believers, responsibilities that we have in the church and in our own homes and families. And those responsibilities must be taken care of. It's wrong, for example, for a father to stay home instead of going to work and to use as an excuse for staying home and neglecting his daily work, to use as an excuse for that the fact that he's trying to be more like Mary. Wrong for a mother to neglect her business in the home, the business of making meals, as Mary was doing, the business of taking care of the children and of her husband. Wrong for her to neglect that and spend all of her time reading and studying and praying. And if it's suggested to her that perhaps she's neglecting her responsibilities to say, but Jesus in Luke 10 rebuked Martha and commended Mary, and I'm trying to be like Mary. Whether we have a family or whether we're alone, whether we are adults or children, God has given us responsibilities that we may not, under any circumstances, neglect. We have to do our very best in everything God gives us to do to serve Him and honor Him. And the person who neglects those responsibilities and nevertheless claims to be serving God is wrong. But that doesn't take away either from the fact that there is one thing that is more important than those earthly responsibilities, and that may not be neglected either. It's so important that sometimes we have deliberately, consciously, to make the effort to find time, to make time for that one thing, so that in all of the busyness of our earthly lives, that one thing is not neglected. Jesus calls it the one thing needful. It is above everything else, that's what the word means, necessary. And when Jesus calls it the one thing needful, then He means that it is more necessary than anything else. Calls it good. We're going to come back to that. But He means by that, that one thing has a God-given purpose in our lives. And for that reason, may not be neglected. That one thing needful for us, as for Mary and Martha, is sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His Word. It's a spiritual responsibility. Responsibility that transcends all other duties and responsibilities. And we are wrong if we neglect that because our lives are too busy, too full of all kinds of other cares, so that somehow or other we never seem to find the time for that one thing needful. And I think you'll agree with me when I say that for most of us, if not all of us, that's something we struggle with. To remember that there is one thing needful. And to make time for that one thing needful, to use the opportunities God has given us to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His Word and profit from those times. And usually because we are careful and troubled about many things like Martha was. Now you might think that what Mary did when she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word is impossible anymore. I suppose someone might even use that as an excuse and say, but if Jesus was actually here personally, then certainly I would sit at His feet and hear His word. I'd put everything else aside for that. But He's gone away to heaven. And so I don't really see how this applies to me. I don't think there's a believer who, if Jesus wasn't actually present, wouldn't take the opportunity to sit at His feet and hear what He had to say. What a privilege that would be. But that must not be an excuse for failing to hear what the Word of God has to say in this passage. We too have the opportunity to do what Mary did. We, in a very real sense of the word, sit at Jesus' feet whenever we open the Word of God. To read it, to study it, to learn from it. We have to remember that from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, this is the Word of Jesus. Not only a Word which speaks on every page of Him, but His own Word to us. And in some ways, a word that is more valuable than what Mary heard when she sat at Jesus' feet. Don't want to take away from the privilege that Mary had of actually hearing His voice there when Jesus was at her home. But we mustn't forget what Peter says either in 2 Peter 1, that in the Word of God, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What we hear with our ears is quickly forgotten. But what's in the Word of God is there until Jesus comes again. A light, Peter calls it in 2 Peter 1, that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in our hearts. That's what we have in the Scriptures. And when we take the time to read the Scriptures, when we take the time to study them, then we are doing exactly what Mary did when she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Do that even when we read good Christian literature, books and other things that help us to understand the Word of God. They're not the inspired and infallible Word of our Savior, but they help us to hear and understand what He says to us in His Word. Even more importantly, we do what Mary did when we sit under the preaching of the gospel each Lord's Day. One of the teachings of our churches, we have other distinctive teachings too, but one of the distinctive teachings of our churches is that in the preaching, Jesus Himself speaks to us. I don't pretend to understand how that happens. Don't pretend to understand how when I stand up here and preach, you hear the voice of Jesus through it all. But it has to be that way. If all you hear is my voice, it's never going to do you any good. Only the voice of Jesus can change your mind, change your heart, save you from your sins, assure you of the forgiveness of sins. There isn't any preacher, however eloquent he may be, who can do that. And Jesus Himself tells us in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." That all happens through the preaching of the gospel on the Lord's Day. And of course, that means too that we should be there on the Lord's Day. That's one of the opportunities we have to follow the example of Mary here in Luke 10. We should be there on the Lord's Day, but we should be there not just in body, but in spirit, making sure that we profit from the Word of God and grow in grace and in knowledge, that we do as the Bereans did when the Word was preached to them. Search the Scriptures to find whether the things that we hear are indeed the Word of our Savior to us. It's all part of being like Mary. And I say again that most of us are like Martha. More like Martha than like Mary. Careful and troubled about many things. And so careful and troubled that we forget about the one thing needful. The day goes by, and we haven't found time for the Word of God, for the prayerful reading and consideration of the Word of God. Then we're so tired by the end of the day that we fall into bed, and our attempts, as we lie there, our attempts to have some kind of devotions amount to almost nothing. So that before we know it, we're asleep and haven't even finished what we meant to do. Same with family devotions. So careful and troubled about all of our earthly affairs, that family devotions, whether at mealtime or at the end of the day, don't amount to much. Quick reading of a few verses from the Word of God with little effort to understand them, and a hasty prayer with little else besides. If that's the case anyway, then we need to hear what Jesus says. First to Martha, and then about Mary. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Before we say any more about that, however, I want you to notice that Jesus speaks of Mary choosing that. In fact, the word that Jesus uses emphasizes the fact that Mary was not only doing this at the time when Jesus visited, but that this was something that was customary with Mary. This was the pattern of her life. She was the kind of spiritually minded person who always found time for the Word of God, for sitting at the feet of Jesus, who knew what was needful, and who didn't let a day go by when she did not deliberately make room for the Word of God and for that one thing needful. She was a little bit like Luther, who customarily at the beginning of a day, very early in the day, took an hour or more for the Word of God and for prayer, and who, when asked how in his busy life he could find that kind of time for the Word of God and for prayer, answered very simply, "How can I not?" But most of us are more like Martha than like Mary, and need to be reminded of what Jesus says here concerning Mary and to Martha. Don't we? Need to be told, not just once, but need to be told over and over again, that there is something more important. And that we have, like Mary, to make room for that in our busy lives. Must not neglect. Must not ever neglect that one thing needful. But it's a choice. Mary hath chosen that one thing needful, that good part, Jesus says. And that needs to be emphasized too. Being like Mary is not something that's just going to happen. It's not going to happen if we say, yes, yes, this is all true. I should be more like Mary. But then don't even think about it anymore. We have to do what Mary did. First of all, see clearly the importance of the one thing that Jesus talks about, and then make room for it in our lives. Sometimes that means that we do what Luther did, that we get up an hour earlier, As difficult as that may be, sometimes it means that instead of just falling into bed at the end of the day, we get down on our knees where we're not going to fall asleep and spend at least a little time with the Word of God and in fellowship with Him through prayer. May mean for a family that the parents deliberately take the time not only to have some hasty family devotions, but to make them mean something by talking to the children about the Word of God and explaining the Word of God to the children. By making sure that the children too hear His Word when the Scriptures are opened. And don't just sit there thinking about other things and hoping that Dad is finished quickly so that they can get back to whatever they were doing. May mean that parents insist, especially when the children are older, that the whole family be together at a certain time during the day for the Word of God. But it's a choice. Something that we as believers have to work at, have to be sure each and every day is not forgotten. Jesus says that this is needful. And I think we all know what Jesus is saying. We serve God, each one of us, in the work we do. We have the assurance that our work is not in vain in the Lord. But it's the Word of God that feeds our souls. It's the Word of God that gives us the joy of salvation and peace with God, the enjoyment of that peace. It's the Word of God that builds us up spiritually. It's the Word of God that corrects us. It's all summarized in that wonderful passage in 2 Timothy 3, which speaks of the inspiration of Scripture. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's why this is needful. That's why it may not, under any circumstances, be neglected. It's for the salvation of our souls. This passage, in other words, is a little bit like that passage in Deuteronomy which says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's to the detriment of my spiritual life if I neglect that one thing needful. Then my spiritual life withers and grows cold. And not only needful, as Jesus says here, but good. That word always means in Scripture, always refers to something that serves a God-given purpose. Food is good If it strengthens us and nourishes us, gives us what we need for our daily life. But this is good, of course, especially because it is the means that God has appointed to support our spiritual life, to give us spiritual growth, growth in grace and in the knowledge of God, that knowledge which is life eternal, good in the highest sense of the word. There's a passage in one of our creeds that compares what are called the means of grace to daily bread. Speaks of the fact that those things, those means of grace, may not under any circumstances be neglected. It calls the Word of God and the Gospel the seed of regeneration and the food of the soul. And it's with that in mind, too, that Jesus says here in Luke 10, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." And I would remind you too in that connection that our Savior shed His blood, died, so that you and I could have that one thing needful. This too, you know, as well as our ability to understand it and profit from it, were purchased by the blood of our Savior. And the fact that His blood was shed so that you and I might have that one thing needful, that good part, is just another reminder of why it may not, under any circumstances, be neglected. Jesus says to Martha that that good thing would not be taken away from Mary. He was not going to take Martha's side in all of this. And He means too, of course, not just that He wasn't going to tell Mary that she had to go and help get the meal on the table and help serve. But He's talking about the fact that Mary, having recognized the importance of those means of grace that God has given us, Mary would profit from them. That what she heard from the mouth of Jesus that day would be a blessing to her. That's part of what Jesus is saying. Food, Martha, will keep us alive. That we need to eat and drink. But what Mary has chosen will be of profit forever. That good thing is not just of value here and now, but forever. It's that good thing that will feed and nourish our souls unto life everlasting. And Jesus is saying then to Martha, that when Martha got to heaven, and she was a believer, by the way, all you have to do if you doubt that is read John 11, the story of Lazarus' resurrection. And Mary's response, Martha's response to the words of Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life." There's no doubt that Martha too was a child of God. But when Martha got to heaven, when you and I get to heaven, then you will find Mary, Martha too, of course, still sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His Word. Because that's what heaven is about. Not His Word as we have it in the Scriptures, but she will be sitting there hearing that living Word of God Himself as He speaks everlasting peace to the souls of His people. And that's the promise that everyone who sees that there is one thing necessary and who makes that their choice will have forever at the feet of our blessed Savior. You too, beloved, taking to heart the Word of God here in this passage, not forgetting before the day is over what Jesus says here, reminding us also of the fact that all of those responsibilities that we have in life may never, ever distract us from the one thing that is needful, which is really Jesus Himself, our Lord and Savior. Is it not so? May God give us grace to hear these words of Jesus for ourselves. Amen. Heavenly Father, use what has been said this morning to bless us, to stir us up to new devotion, to new obedience, to heartfelt love for our Savior, to appreciation for what we have in the Word of God, and to faithful use of the means of grace which have been provided for us. And forgive us, Father, when we are careful and troubled about many things. Forgive us all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.